Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the show. Glad to have you with us. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We're headed into the big weekend. It's the Final Four for the women tonight, the men on Saturday, then Sunday, a women's national championship game. Of course, the men's national championship, the finale on Monday night, and we had Indiana State losing in a heartbreaker to get our early weekend of basketball started last night. I thought it was going to be tough. Seton Hall, really good. Indiana State, really good. The Sycamores made a couple big comebacks. One in the first half, one midway through the second half, one in the final 4 minutes or so of the game, but just could not hang on. They were crushed after the game, crying after the game. The coach, you could tell he was distraught after the game, but that's what happens when something special goes on in basketball, and the Sycamores had something really, really special in Terre Haute this past college basketball season. So congratulations to them. Kind of a little unexpected bonus in March to get to follow Indiana State through a great run in the NIT, and it worked out where they got to host games. It worked out where the Final Four was at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So just everything about it was great, and I know a lot of Hoosier fans who were wishing their team was in a postseason tournament got the chance to follow along, and definitely a very fun team to watch. Congratulations to them on a great season. Let's look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one will have some headlines, but we're also going to be joined by Jay Biggs here in just a few minutes. He is the general manager of Valley View Golf Course out in Floyd's Knobs, a beautiful course here in Southern Indiana, and we'll be out there on Monday for the solar eclipse, and they're having all kinds of activities and a big golf tournament on Monday, and Jay will tell us all about that coming up here in just a few moments. Also, later in the show, it's Friday, so Dylan Wallace is with us. We'll dig into IU and the transfer portal with him. I don't think there's been any major updates since we spoke last 24 hours ago, but definitely some things percolating for the Hoosiers in the portal, and we'll see as we get into next week with still lots of time left for movement in the transfer portal, who Indiana brings in and how big of fish they're able to pull out of this transfer portal pond. And so we'll get into that with Dylan coming up here in just a bit. And then later, as always, on Friday, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will be with us. We'll recap the high school basketball season and, believe it or not, the spring recruiting season. There's a dead period right now for a few days, but the spring recruiting period really heats up soon, and the coaches later this month will be out on the road watching some of the high school prospects. And so we'll catch up with Kyle on all of that here in just a bit. That's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great dinner packages. They've got soups and salads and sandwiches that are all made fresh daily for lunch. You might even find something else to take home as well. Again, those dinner packages are great. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send in a question, a comment, talking about the Hoosiers, talking about local sports. Going to talk some high school baseball here later in this opening segment as well. Anything you want to talk about, your predictions for the Final Four. I can't see how it's not Connecticut and Purdue in the national championship game, but I think if there is going to be an upset on Saturday in the semifinals, I think it's North Carolina State. If one of the favorites is not going to advance, this North Carolina State team is not going to be easy for Purdue to put out. But I'd love to know your thoughts as well. Again, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Check out Thornton's. They've got this new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito. It's available every a.m. at all participating Thornton's locations. And again, the Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Jay Biggs, general manager of Valley View Golf Club, joins us right now to talk about Monday and the solar eclipse and a big event that they are having at Valley View. And Jay, welcome. Before we get to Monday's festivities, I want to make sure I congratulate you. I'm not a big golfer. I do attend Valley View occasionally for some different functions, but you've got that place looking great. The course is great. The clubhouse is great. Congratulations on a lot of great improvements at Valley View Golf Course.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate it. Been a good couple years and, really looking forward to getting this year started and excited about starting off with this event Monday. It looks like the weather is going to be phenomenal for us, so it should be an exciting day.
All right, talking with Jay Biggs, Valley View, the general manager there. Let's talk about Monday. A lot of excitement about the solar eclipse in general, and what a better way to spend it on a golf course with great weather, as you mentioned. What is the rundown? Tell us about the tournament, the option there on Monday that you're going to host.
Well, you can pretty much make a tee time anytime throughout the day up to 2:55. You know, we've got some good games going on out there, kind of eclipse-related. Got Blue Moon specials all day. We've got you get glasses, glow ball. We're going to gather everybody up and have a close-to-the-pin shot in the dark with the glow balls. Just some activities afterwards, lunch for the golfers, and just kind of a good day to get out and enjoy friends and play some golf and see the eclipse at the golf course.
Sounds like a lot of fun. If somebody wants to participate, is it a simple call to make a tee time? Is it a show-up deal? What does somebody need to do to be most prepared to participate Monday?
You know, best thing, probably easiest, is to go onto our website, valleyviewgolfclub.org, and just book a tee time. The fees for, if you mention the radio station when you are the show, when you get to the to check in that day, it's only a $15 fee, greens fee, and that's going to go towards our junior golf program. You just pay the cart fee. So it's a really discounted fun day. And like I said, the food's included, the ball's included, the shots, and we'll have quite a few prizes throughout the day. So stay to celebrate the start of the new year.
Absolutely. Jay Biggs with us. You know, Jay, a lot of concern, especially just north of here, about traffic and gridlock. And so I think that this part of southern Indiana, where you're going to get to experience the eclipse, but may not have the wild, crazy road conditions that happen, at least I don't think so, just north of here, it might be wise to stay in this area. And this Valley View event seems like a good option for people that aren't going to make the trip north on Monday.
Yeah, you know, should be. We're pretty easy to get to from either side of the river, and it's shouldn't have any issues at all with the bridges and everything going on. So it should be a pretty laid back day and an easy way to sit here and watch the eclipse and at a beautiful setting, and play a little golf.
Jay Biggs with Valley View joining us about their Eclipse event on Monday, and we'll be there on Monday. The Hoosier Report will be live on location from Valley View, and I think some of our other shows that day will take place from the course as well. Jay, I know we started off talking about the course and some of the improvements and what you've got going on there in general. In your few years heading up the Valley View operation, tell us some of the new things that you've added. You mentioned the junior golf program. I know that's something that has been a great success, but more on that and other things that you're proud of that you've got rolling there at the course.
Well, we've done quite a bit of work on the clubhouse and on the golf course. We've, it's always about the golf course, but we've got our fairway conditions, been able to seed quite a bit more in the winter over the Bermuda grass. Probably the best thing we've been able to do is we bought a greens mower that's state-of-the-art greens mower, and then a roller. The rollers in golf, they've become so, in the last few years, become amazingly better with speed to get them rolled. And you know, we bought, like I said, the state-of-the-art Greensmore, and we rolled these things every other day. Where in the past, for a golf course to roll, it just took so much time. You might do it four or five times a year, and we do it now every other day. So our greens are really, really fast and putt really, really well. And, you know, I think that's the number one feature that people like in a golf course. So just keep moving it forward, and it's a great time for golf. And, you know, we're up to increased our rounds by 25%, and just it's been a good time and fun to make Valley View a better place each year.
Absolutely. Jay, you know, we talk a lot of high school sports here on the Hoosier Report, and I believe you guys still have a great connection with some of the local high school golf programs, some practices there, I believe, and also tournaments as well that include some of the local schools. How active are you guys with the high school scene, and any read on how high school golf is this season?
Oh, it's we you know, we're the hosts of the boys and girls golf teams of New Albany and Floyd Central. You know, and you know, seems to me in the last 2 years both teams have gotten really strong, and not just with a few good players, but really deep. New Albany's got a really good team this year on the boys' side. You know, it's that season, so they ran Floyd Central's Invitational's here tomorrow. You know, I think high school golf's in a really good spot. It's good to see a lot of the outlining schools and the talent they're bringing in. And, you know, just it's so different than it was. I played high school golf in the, you know, mid-80s at New Albany, and just it's amazing how many more good players there are and how many kids do play now versus then. I think golf was people were worried about the future of golf, and I don't think it's ever been better in my time. So it's good to be a part of it, and, you know, I think that's something we're working on. We're going to do some leagues off our back nine with junior high schools all summer. You know, we built a practice area on the back nine where we're going to have pros out doing instruction for the kids in June and July through the summers, and just really trying to get as many engaged and to help these programs along and, you know, get more and more family children out here at Valley View to keep this place continuing to improve.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Jay Biggs from Valley View Golf Club talking about the Lunar Eclipse Open 2024. You can sign up, get more information on that and all the other things we discussed as well at valleyviewgolfclub.org. Again, valleyviewgolfclub.org. Jay, I know it's a busy time getting the season going. Thanks for taking time out to chat with us. Looking forward to being out there with you guys on Monday. I know it's going to be a great turnout, a great event, and we'll see you then.
Great. Thank you. We'll see you Monday.
All right. Jay Biggs, he's the GM of Valley View and really looking forward to taking the show on location. Best thing is, as Jay mentioned, I think the weather is going to be really good for the golf on Monday, for our show out there on Monday, but also for everybody that's going to take on the eclipse, no matter where you may be. Looks like, knock on wood here, we're going to have good weather for that coming up this weekend. A couple headlines I want to get to here in the opening segment of the show. Trace Jackson Davis last night with a career-high 20 points. He was 8 of 10 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 1 steal, played 28 minutes as a Golden State, a winner, 133-110 over the Houston Rockets. Jackson Davis is, I didn't realize this, he's now started each of the Warriors' last 5 games, which is a big deal for him. And I think he's putting together a rookie season resume that might qualify him for the all-rookie team. That is big, especially when you look at all the players that were drafted in front of him, and so many of them aren't getting minutes on any regular basis, and some of them aren't even in the NBA. They're back with G League teams, kind of like TJD started when the season got here. So he continues to just do some really good stuff, and that is exciting. I know he's a fan favorite coming out of Indiana. In fact, I saw Klay Thompson commenting on Trace Jackson Davis's big game last night and complimenting his collegiate coaching, saying how he really got better, really got prepared for this opportunity. So Trace Jackson Davis making the most of his rookie season at Golden State. There is no question about that, and great to see him continue to have some opportunity there. Also, Indiana women's player Sarah Scalia, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, she won the college three-point contest out at Grand Canyon University, not far from Phoenix, the site of the men's Final Four last night. She was red hot in the first round especially. Her final score was 19 points in the second round, but she defeated Haley Frank of Missouri to win the three-point championship, so congratulations to her. She was a dead-eye shooter for IU women much of the season this year, and definitely came out firing on all cylinders last night as well. Women's game continues to be interesting. Looking at the ratings from Monday and the anticipation in the Final Four games tonight, especially the Caitlin Clark versus Connecticut game, that should be outstanding. Iowa, UConn tonight. So a lot of interest in that, and also a lot of movement in the women's transfer portal as well. Haley Van Lith, who played a season ago at U of L, entered the portal, went to LSU like she was kind of chasing a college championship. That didn't work out as Iowa eliminated LSU earlier this week, and now she's back in the transfer portal again and will find another destination next season. So that'll be interesting to see where she goes. One high school note, Floyd Central Baseball with a 4-0 win, 11-4 win last night over Jasper. The Highlanders are now 4-0 on the season, and just talking earlier, discussion about high school baseball locally, I think we've all agreed that Floyd Central has an opportunity to be the best team in the area and probably the front runner in the 4A sectional. And so Floyd Central with the big win over Jasper, who's always one of the great programs in Indiana, that's kind of an early statement win for the Highlanders. I know Providence also a winner 11-1 in five innings over Austin yesterday as well. Silver Creek down University out of Indianapolis 4-1 at their new stadium, the Hunter Station Pizza Athletic Complex, which is a first-class facility. And so some early baseball results from last night across the area. A lot of the schools on spring break, so you see some different opponents coming into town to play. Maybe some teams from the north where the weather isn't as good. Not that our weather right now is good, but maybe not as cold up there, so they're coming down south to play. And then you had New Albany and some other teams, I think Floyd Central softball as well, went down to Nashville, Tennessee, and went south to play a few weeks, or last week, I should say, to get some early games in with the hope of better weather. So look at our headlines. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send in your questions and comments and whatever you've got for us. Women's Final Four tonight. The two good games coming up, I think, and we'll see if Iowa and Caitlin Clark can get to the Sunday Women's Championship game and represent the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, then we'll get into the men's game on Saturday, and it's all about Purdue and what they can do to see if they can get to the championship game on Monday night. We'll head to a break. We're back with Dylan Wallace. Still ahead is Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Little sad note that I do want to pass along. It was shared with me just a little earlier today that former Jeffersonville basketball coach George Marshall, a Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer, has passed away. I believe Coach Marshall was around 87, definitely up in his 80s, and obviously a legendary figure around Jeff Sports and Jeff Basketball, and he will be missed. He was somebody that was still out and about and around fairly often at things in Jeffersonville, and got the news this morning and wanted to pass it along, but obviously a great figure in Jeffersonville basketball over the years, and he passed away, I believe it was late last night, early this morning, at his home in Jeffersonville. Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, still joins us on Friday as we talk IU basketball and more. And Dylan, we'll get into IU and the transfer portal here in just a moment, but first off, the Final Four. What do you think? Can Caitlin Clark and Iowa represent the Big Ten and win the women's title? And do you have Purdue getting to the championship? And if they do, could they beat Connecticut? And could the Big Ten sweep the men's and women's? Or is that a pipe dream here?
I think it's very realistic that both Iowa and Purdue get to the national championship. But I think the teams on the other side, meaning South Carolina for the women's and UConn for the men's, they just both might be too good for everybody else in college basketball. That's kind of what it seemed like throughout the tournament. I know Indiana's women's team gave South Carolina a great game. Really the only kind of tough test South Carolina's faced so far in this tournament. We'll be curious to see if NC State can play tough with them today. But those two teams have just demonstrated really a complete dominance throughout this tournament for the most part. So it's going to be tough. But I think, you know, if you're looking on the men's side, you know, having a guy like Zach Edey go up against a guy like Donovan Klingon could be a really, really fun matchup to watch in the national title. But, you know, both teams still both have to get there. I think Iowa's women's team has a really tough matchup tonight against UConn. You know, I was watching the UConn play USC earlier on Monday, and, you know, UConn just looks like a really well-oiled machine right now. They have a short roster, only like six players, but they just have a really good team, and I think they might have more all-around talent than Iowa, but you know, obviously with the Caitlin Clark factor, who can go off for 40 points in any given game, can just be enough to get you over the hump. So I'm really excited for that matchup. It should be a fun one, but the winner of it might just run into too big of a task in South Carolina. But we'll see. I think it'll be really fun and another good round of games. And then for the men's side, NC State's been a great story. I think everyone's excited to see DJ Burns and Zach Edey go at it in the post. But I think Purdue's team has just been playing really well. They've kind of answered a lot of the problems they've had the last few years in NCAA tournaments, which is good. I'm sure they have a lot of confidence right now. But this NC State team's kind of on a miracle run, and it could run out tomorrow night, but it could also keep going. And I think no matter who wins that game, might just also run into a buzz on UConn, who has just been absolutely on fire. And they haven't even been shooting well from three at all. They've been shooting really poorly from the three-point line. So if they can get that going, which they might need against a three-point shooting team like Alabama, that could make them even scarier for the title game. So I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue and Iowa are both in the championship games, but the other teams on their side might be too much to overcome.
I said this earlier, looking at the men's Final Four, I think Connecticut gets out ahead of Alabama, maybe not early, but in the first half, and I could see Connecticut rolling there, covering the spread, cruising to the national championship game. If there's going to be a great game, of course, as soon as I say this, it'll be reversed, but if there's going to be a great game in the men's Final Four, I feel like the North Carolina State story, I just don't see them going down, at least to Purdue, easy. I think that one could be much more of a battle and could be much more of a closer game down the stretch in the second half, with, I would predict, Purdue pulling away maybe in the final 8-9 minutes of the ball game. Do you see it that way, and do you see Edey being challenged by some of the North Carolina State big men?
I think it's definitely possible. You know, I think you're right about the Alabama-UConn game. You know, Alabama's going to have to really shoot lights out from three to really compete in that game. They're probably going to shoot like 40 threes and might have to make close to half of them if they want to even be in the game. UConn's just so good, and we saw it against Illinois. Even though Illinois was competitive in that first half, you know, it was 23-23, and the next thing you know, it's a 30-0 run. And it's just a crazy, crazy thing to have happen in today's game. So I think UConn will probably kind of cruise to the championship. But I do think NC State could cause Purdue some issues. I think the only issue is, you know, DJ Burns is just he's got a lot of girth to him, but he's a lot shorter than Zach Edey. So Edey's height might just be enough. But if Burns kind of push Edey off his spot, you know, that's kind of the advantage they might be able to have. And I saw Burns say yesterday in his availability that, you know, Edey really hasn't been tested, you know, defensively in the post throughout this tournament, and he said that's not going to be the case, you know, Saturday. So I would expect Burns to really try to go at him. Even though Edey's got the height on him, Burns has a nice touch. It seems like he can, you know, shoot a couple of mid-range jumpers and maybe, you know, get a little hook shot going around. So I'll be curious to see if they're able to compete. And,
You know, NC State just had a really good run with DJ Horn as one of their guards and the O'Connell kid. I mean, they've been shooting the ball pretty well, too. So I would expect them to definitely give Purdue a tough time. But I think Purdue, much like we saw in the Tennessee game, is probably going to have enough to get by in the end. So I think your read on both matchups are probably accurate. But like you said, I mean, now that we say it, the opposite always happens whenever I think I know what I'm talking about. So I expect Alabama to have a five-point lead with 5 minutes to go and Purdue to be up 20 in the first half, and we'll see how it goes. But I think both games could be fun, so let's hope that's the case. I don't want to watch two blowouts because those are never fun.
No, definitely not in the Final Four. It's the penultimate moment of the college basketball season. We want to see these things be close and competitive down the stretch. Talking with Dylan Wallace. Dylan is a great friend of this show. We talk IU basketball, football, and more weekly here on Fridays. Let's get into some IU stuff. The transfer portal, there continue to be a lot of names, although it seems to really have kind of slowed down. Indiana's targeting a group of guys right now working to set up visits. There have been some visits that have happened, and I believe it's a little bit of a dead period when it comes to recruiting, at least any kind of in-person stuff right now through after the Final Four. So things might slow down just a bit. But, Dylan, I don't think with the transfer portal, if you look back to previous seasons and kind of tally up the numbers right now, I don't think this portal is done growing. I think there will be more entrants from the portal, maybe from NCAA tournament teams and Final Four teams. I still think we've got a ways to go as far as prospects that Indiana's not even maybe aware of right now that could be available in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's still four teams left on the men's side that are probably going to have some guys depart once the season ends. You know, the NIT just wrapped up last night with Indiana State and Seton Hall. Two good teams. Wouldn't be surprised if the guys on the Indiana State team wanted to try to move up and play, you know, some Power Six basketball or you know, guys from Seton Hall that, you know, stuck around but are thinking they could go play elsewhere for another year. So there's a couple of teams left that could have guys depart and that have good players that could still be on the market here. And, you know, also with some coaching changes coming up, you know, with Eric Musselman going to the Big Ten and joining USC, you know, there could be guys on Arkansas who were either committed or maybe already decided to, or thinking about coming back, that could leave, you know, with the coaches changes as well. So there's a lot more guys that I think we're going to see pop up in the transfer portal. You know, we still got about a full month to go with this in terms of when it closes. So I think there's going to be a lot more guys that could become available here soon. And that's why I wouldn't, you know, no one should be overreacting about, oh, Indiana still has six spots open. What are they going to do with it? You know, there's still a lot of time. You know, they have some visits coming up. There's going to be more guys that enter that they're going to probably at least contact, you know, if anything. So there's a lot of moving pieces here still to go with this transfer portal. And we got about a whole month. I think it closes May 1st. So there's a lot of chance for more guys to come available, more guys to just take a visit to Indiana or whatever it may be. So I think a lot of guys have visits coming up around Little Five time, which is close to the football spring game. So there's going to be a lot more to follow throughout this transfer portal season. It's crazy. We talk about it every year. It's been a few years now. Every summer, it gives us stuff to talk about every week because there's always new guys or new names or potential guys that you might want to look at to join your team. So there's going to definitely be more names from teams that are not out yet and teams who, you know, have coaching changes and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be free flowing and moving pretty quick.
You know, Dylan, one other new thing this offseason, it's going to take some getting used to. I looked at Alex Bozich's on Inside the Hall growing list of Big Ten players that have entered the transfer portal. And with the new additions, the four newcomers to the Big Ten next year, the West Coast additions, I always call them, it's harder to grasp what the Big Ten will be like. All the moves, some coaching changes with those schools. It's just different. I was trying to look at Alex's list and look at the rosters online and think ahead to what the early Big Ten could look like, early thoughts on the Big Ten could look like. And it's always tough to do this time of year, just something I just was trying to think ahead about just for fun. But it's even more hard with some new additions to the Big Ten. This is a growing conference, and adding those schools makes things a little harder to know. It's just a new deal right now.
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of pool of players out there, too, on the West Coast. It kind of adds a different kind of flavor and I guess part of the country that, you know, you might want to try to recruit more if you can, you know, because they'll be in your own conference. And maybe guys from, you know, the West Coast would be more open to to not staying home, and maybe they would want to come to a Big Ten school because they know they'll have X amount of games back home, you know, when they're in college anyway. So that's going to be an interesting piece of it. And, you know, it's still kind of hard to get my head wrapped around, like, thinking of next year's Big Ten standing. It's like, okay, you know, there's Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois, and then you're thinking, like, oh, wait, Oregon just had a really good year. Are they going to potentially be a top team in the conference? You know, with Musselman going to USC, you know, you see that news, and all of a sudden it took me, like, a minute to be like, oh, wait, he's going to be coaching in the Big Ten now against these teams that we watch so closely and talk about. So it's just going to be a really different vibe. You know, Sky Clark, who was at Louisville, committed to UCLA, and now they're going to be in the Big Ten. So it's been weird to kind of get used to and think about, like, oh yeah, all these teams and these players and these coaches, they're going to be in this conference next year. So it's going to look a lot different. I'm really curious to see. I think they're still sticking with a 20 game conference schedule for the moment. So I'll be curious to see how the schedules shake out. You'll obviously have less, you know, double games against people home and away. So that's going to be interesting to follow too. But yeah, it's just all these new players and new guys, it could help potentially Indiana, you know, if and other Big Ten schools in the Midwest to be able to maybe recruit out there and get some of these different players. But it's just way different now to watch and follow. And we got to be keeping track, you know, like a guy could be leaving, you know, a school in the SEC and go to a school from the USC or UCLA, and then you're thinking like, oh wow, we're actually gonna have to play those guys next year. So it's a way different mindset now, and you know, it's something that I've always been like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting these teams are coming in, and it's gonna be really interesting to follow. I'm kind of excited for it, but it's also gonna be a way different kind of vibe and change than we're used to.
Dylan Wallace, my guest. We're talking IU basketball, the Big Ten Conference, the transfer portal, and more. Dylan, is there a prospect or two out there connected with Indiana right now from the portal that you think, golly, Mike Woodson and this staff, they need that person for their shooting abilities, or they need this player because of this? Who are those key guys right now that we know of that you think Indiana's got to add?
So one that I am really curious about is Miles Rice from Washington State. You know, I watched Washington State a little bit last year. They had a pretty good season. You know, I think they were in the NCAA tournament. You know, he was a really good point guard player for them. The way he was able to kind of get downhill, attack the basket, I don't think he shot great from three, but I think he was just a really solid point guard, did a lot of really good things, and that kind of type of player I think could be really useful for a team like Indiana. And so I was excited that, you know, they seemed to be involved with him. He really kind of caught my attention. The other one, honestly, is an in-state kid who Indiana had an in-home visit with, was Connor Hickman, a great three-point shooter. I remember covering Anthony Leal's high school recruitment for Inside the Hall with Alex Bozich, and I went to a game at Bloomington South, and Hickman just lit it up from three. And, I, you know, first time watching that team, I'm like, is this guy the best player on the team? And it's actually not Leal. And, you know, it was just kind of a thought from just if you just – planted me in that one game and not followed the whole season, like, that was my first thought. You know, he was really good, so I'm really curious to see if he's able to kind of take that next step up. He's obviously a really good shooter, which is what Indiana has longed for years. So those are kind of two backcourt guys that I've been really interested in. Rice is more of kind of a point guard, floor general type player who can kind of get downhill and score. Hickman, obviously one of those kind of standalone shooters, space the floor kind of guys that could be really useful. So I'm excited to see what happens with them. Obviously, they got the two forwards coming, or they got Amari Williams from Drexel coming in from Drexel, and then they got the Kanan Carlisle guy from Stanford. Those guys are coming the same weekend for, like, little five spring game vibes. So I think those are kind of two guys that could be interesting as well. You know, so I'm excited. I think Rice and Hickman were the two kind of backcourt players that I've been really, really interested in, and I think, you know, this was a little bit ago, but the Diamant Blasi guy, who was a potential high school recruit, definitely got my eye on him. I think that'd be a really fun piece to add. So those are some people that I'm excited about, you know. But, you know, like we said, more players can jump in that you might get more excited about. But right now, those are some of the players that I'm kind of most intrigued by, and I would be pretty excited if Indiana could land some of them.
Dylan Wallace, still in the spring game in football, will be here, what, a couple weekends from now. We've heard from Coach Cignetti, probably not as much as we heard from Coach Allen in the spring, but he gives updates each week after practice, after spring practices unfold. I think the team has had, seven or eight practices to date, maybe. Do you sense a new – there's got to be, right, a new excitement around IU football in the upcoming spring game?
Yeah, super excitement. I mean, the team's people seem really excited for this coaching staff. You know, they had a video posted earlier this week of just a coach mic'd up at practice, and just the energy and kind of the vibes, the way people are talking, it felt a little different, you know, just watching it, and it just felt exciting. You know, it felt like things are kind of being built there, and all of Cignetti's pressers, you know, he's always got a quote here or there that you're like, yeah, like I can get behind that. I definitely see what he's saying. And, you know, he's pretty realistic of like, we're not where we need to be. This hasn't been good. It's early, you know. So, I mean, he's pretty honest about his thoughts on things, which is kind of a nice thing to hear. So I'm excited for it. I'm sure a lot of people are going to, you know, show out for it as long as the weather's good and get a first look at some of the first team, you know, guys playing. So it's going to be really exciting. And I just think the excitement overall about this next season and this staff, you know, they've done a really good job really kind of captivating this fan base, because it was pretty bleak there. I think people were really tuned out at the end of last season, and now the energy that he's brought and his staff has brought to this team, some of the nice players they've added, and like I think we've talked about, you know, the schedule kind of has a nice runway for you to start this season in terms of who you're playing. So there could be some nice momentum for the football team, and it starts this spring with hearing quotes from them and seeing the spring game. So there's definitely a real excitement here with this program. And it's not like they're going to be amazing right away, but I think just, you know, being more competitive, having more of a plan on both sides of the ball, seeing all that stuff come together will be exciting for this fan base. And I think people like Coach Sig, and he's got a good fun kind of attitude and persona that people can get behind. So it's been fun to watch, and I'm definitely excited to see what they can do this season.
Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, with us Fridays on the show. Dylan, thanks. Enjoy all the basketball this weekend, and we'll talk about it next Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Final segment of the show and final segment of the week with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, coming your way after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report. Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us in this segment each Friday. We talk high school basketball, high school sports, and more. And Kyle, this is the first time that we've had a chance to chat since the 1, 2, 3, and 4A state championship games last Saturday in Indianapolis, and this kind of maybe can help conclude the high school basketball season. But I thought it was a great day in Indianapolis last Saturday for Southern Indiana, and a great day for the Mid-Southern Conference with Brownstown in 2A and Scottsburg in 3A, not only winning championships that day, but bringing great crowds, showcasing great players. I thought really reflected well on hoops down here in our area.
Oh, absolutely. It was a great day. And like you said, I mean, I think Brownstown Central and Scottsburg kind of, you know, showed who they were all season. And, you know, I think maybe Brownstown was less of a surprise. We kind of knew, you know, who they were, you know, going into the year, I think even last year, kind of who they were and what kind of team they would have this season if Jack Benner stayed healthy. And, you know, just all the pieces kind of clicked. And I thought Wapahine, you know, gave him a good run there and got it close. And, you know, but honestly, like going into that game and watching the teams walk out for the jump ball, it's like, well, this, you know, and you kind of knew that going in, but it's like, well, this is definitely a difference in size and, you know, just the overall talent level. But, you know, Wapahine, very tough and deserving of being there, obviously. And, you know, thought they gave a good account of themselves. Certainly their crowd did as well. But, you know, Scottsburg, I think, was maybe a team we didn't know for sure. You know, we knew their talent. We knew, you know, the kind of season they were building towards. And you know, but then to see them, you know, go out and beat Guerin the way they did and really go into that state championship and play a very good, you know, that team, South Bend St. Joe, was probably a little bit underrated all year just because of the schedule they play. But, you know, you watch them play Saturday and they're very athletic and, you know, just a team that could really match up with Scottsburg. But, you know, Jack Miller played a phenomenal game. I think he really kind of set the tone from the get-go. And then, you know, Cody Clancy's been such a good player throughout his career, and it was fun to see him sort of have that ability to finish off his career the way he did. He's got, you know, lineage back to the 1989 women's, the girls team at Scottsburg there to win state. And, you know, his mom and aunt, you know, played on in those games. My aunt was Miss Basketball that year. So really cool, kind of a lineage type of story. And obviously with Brownstown too, with Dave Benner coaching the team, and he was very emotional, you know, about winning that game and being able to bring a championship back to his community where he's from. I think meant a lot. You know, it always means a lot to win one, but and obviously for Scottsburg too, had never won one in the boys' side. So it just, a neat experience, I think, for both those Southern Indiana communities. And, you know, those teams will go down in the history books forever now.
Absolutely. Talking with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, next up, from a basketball perspective, you've got the All-Star games coming up in the summer. There have been some announcements on that stuff with more to come. Also, it won't be long. It'll be summer league for the high school teams in the month of June, and opportunities to play in front of college coaches in June with their high school teams, which is still fairly new. But before any of that, the travel season gets going, the club season, the grassroots season, whatever you want to phrase it. Just in a couple of weeks from now, it will really heat up, and college coaches will be able to get out and watch some of the high school prospects.
Yeah, that's always, it comes faster than you expect it to, especially when your high school season gets pushed back a week, or your state championship games anyway. So I'm actually in Arizona right now. I'm not even thinking about any of that yet. I'm out here covering Purdue, and, so that'll come soon enough, and it'll be fine. I always enjoy getting out to that. It's just kind of like you need a reset button to hit and kind of recalibrate your mind onto the AAU season compared to high school. But there's a lot of storyline. I'm really excited about this senior class, and, you know, I think we're going to end up with some kid. You know, there are kids out there who I know are considering going prep school, and you know that is always an avenue I think that's becoming more prevalent as we talk over the years on the show. But I think it's setting up to be a really fun high school season next year. So I'm looking forward to that greatly. And you know, and all that is kind of set up by this spring and summer and the travel and the high school season. So we get to kind of learn more about these players and their AAU ventures, and then, you know, in June, like you said, you get a chance to see them come back, play with the high school teams, and also coaches get to see part of that as well. So it's all encompassing. It'll go fast, and then November will be here before we even know it.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star. Awesome that you're in Arizona. Hope you enjoy the Final Four. Let's close the segment talking about Purdue. And, you know, their roster construction is very heavy on Indiana high school basketball players. And I know you've covered and have gotten to know a lot of those players and their families. So to see them not only play at Purdue, but to have the success they've had, and then to reach the Final Four, it's a great thing, and you can probably break it down better than I can, but Purdue is very much a roster built around Indiana high school basketball.
It is, and, you know, you walk in that locker room, and, you know, and some of these guys I haven't covered in a while, but, I'm very familiar with who they are as people and players, and, you know, I talked to Caleb First yesterday and wrote a little story about, you know, his role is diminished, but, you know, he's one of those guys, like, you know, he's all in, you know, and it's cool to see that. So it's easier, I guess, when you're winning probably, but they've definitely built something pretty special, heavy on high school players, you know, heavy on in-state players. And, you know, Matt Painter, you know, I covered the first round as well in Indianapolis, first two rounds. And, you know, he just, you know, and I obviously have known him for, you know, going back a long time, but he just built such a good, consistent winner, you know, that it's cool to see him get to this stage and kind of, you know, maybe people who didn't realize what Purdue had, you know, gets to find that out now. And it'll be an interesting game. I think Saturday they're, you know, pretty heavy favorites to beat NC State. I'm actually about to head over to the stadium now. NC State has Jaden Taylor, who's a former Indian All-Star from Perry Meridian. So he's on the other side of things today. So I get a chance to talk to him a little bit. So another local connection there. And, you know, it's just there's a lot of that, you know, in that Purdue locker room. And I think, you know, it's fun to see a team like that have success like they have. And, you know, talking to Brandon Brantley yesterday, their assistant coach, big man coach, he's a former, you know, coached with on the AAU scene with Pat Mullen going back years ago, coached on Ben Davis's staff. And you know, he was assistant coach of the year in the Big Ten, you know, this year working with the big men. So obviously really a lot of connections there, and he's a former Purdue player and Andrean grad. So a lot of cool stories within the story with Purdue, for sure. A lot of local ties, too.
Kyle Nenrith, the Indianapolis Star. What's on your agenda between now and Saturday's games? Any fun festivities going on out there in Arizona and Phoenix?
No, basically just going to the stadium. We were pretty much there all day yesterday, and then today I got a chance last night to kind of walk around the stadium. You know, they were testing the scoreboard and the sound system, and you know, so you kind of walk around. It feels like a massive, I'm sure any football stadium, it just feels like, I've never been here in this stadium before, so. But yeah, walking around, it's a very new area out here in Glendale, so, you know, some restaurants and stuff out here, but it's not a very developed community yet, so but it's definitely growing, and it's a neat area out here.
All right, Kyle Nenrith from the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy the Final Four. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, Matt.
All right, have a great weekend. Enjoy all of the basketball. We'll catch up on Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.